I can testify that personally. And every one of us has got a story about that. You say, I don't have a story. Well, you can get one this morning. So I hope that that if you don't know the Lord, that you will take care of that today when the invitation is given. Well, we are honored today to have two of God's choice servants with us. We are glad to have Brother Johnny and Miss Barbara Daniels. Miss Barbara, I want you to stand up back here in the back. I had the wonderful privilege of having dinner last night with Brother Don and with Brother Johnny and Miss Barbara. And Brother Johnny, I want you to know that there are several things that we've got in common. You're losing your hair and mine's gone. All right? But I'm going to tell you something. We both married up. We married up. I just enjoyed so much the fellowship last night. Miss Barbara being there. And I guess that's probably the first time she and I have had a chance to sit around and talk. Brother Johnny and I have been able to do that on a couple of occasions. Brother Daniels is a unique man. I don't think if anybody has been around him much that you don't know that. He is a unique fella. There's probably not another missionary that I know of that has more influence down through the Caribbean and probably even into certain parts of Africa than Johnny Daniels. For 40 years, he has been a missionary, actually over 40 years, down in Puerto Rico and down through those islands. He's the man there. He can announce a conference, and there will be probably 60 to 70 to 80 national pastors that will rake and scrape everything they can get to fly in to a conference that he holds. They will sleep on the floor. They'll eat nothing but bowls of rice, all to be in a conference that he sets up. That's the kind of respect that Brother Daniels has. When he preaches for us, it's special for me. He's a member of this church. And if you do not know him, you ought to make it a point to meet him after this service. You ought to get a chance to meet Miss Barbara. And I hope that that you will pray for them. There are prayer cards on the table in the foyer. It'll tell you a little bit about them. It'll tell you a little bit about their ministry. It'll tell you their addresses so that you can maybe write them from time to time. And so I want you to pray for the Daniels. But this is one of God's choice men. And I don't say that lightly. I guess if I were going to rate missionaries that I know of that are influential, he's easily in the top three. Easily. And so I want Brother Johnny to come and preach the word of God to us this morning. You give him your undivided attention, and let's just hear from the Lord today.
Thank you, preacher. Well, I'm embarrassed. I'll just be honest with you. That's a humbling thing. I appreciate that, Brother Tommy. It's a joy to be here. It's been a long time since we've been here. In 1974, my wife and I did leave to go to the West Indies. We didn't actually go do a visit, a survey trip or nothing. We bought one-way tickets and left. And the Lord, through the years, has let our paths cross with people who were special in our lives and churches, and of course this church is one of them, and your former pastor, it's hard to say former pastor, but that's the reality. Last night was having the fellowship, and after we'd eaten, started to leave, and Pastor Richard said, "Good night, Pastor." I said, "That feels good, doesn't it?" All those years, he didn't have a pastor, he got a pastor. What a blessing it is. But God let our paths cross many years ago with Pastor Richards and Corinth Baptist Church. And, you know, through your life, the Lord places people in it at the right time. And he's done that, and I could write a book on the things the Lord's done like that for us. But this church, you'll never know. I forget the number. How many families do you say you're all supporting, Brother Tommy? 168 families. Can you imagine when you get to heaven? The people from all over the world will come up and thank you, because I think God has just ordained it that way. And Paul wrote the church at Philippi, and he thanked them, and you know the context of the statement he made in Philippians 4 when he said, "It wasn't that I desired a gift from you, but fruit that may abound to your account." What Paul was talking about was, he said in the beginning, no other church but you communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. But through the years, God has blessed this church, and your ministry goes to the probably every continent on the earth where it's inhabited. But just share with you briefly, and this is preaching time, and we want to take the time and do that and not talk, but we are grateful for this ministry and how that is part of our ministry. And as the pastor mentioned, 1974, Barbara and I went to the mission field. Had no idea what God would allow us to be a part of. And really, if anybody knows me, it's certainly not us. It's God that's done it. I say this often to our young people, that in the college it goes out, God's not looking for men and women to do His work. He's looking for men and women to do His work through. Because it's really not us, it's Him. And because of your prayers and because of your support and praying for us, the Lord has blessed through the college, and we now have about 120 graduates in 22 different countries. And God has blessed. And they have churches, and you support some of them. And so you're very much a part of that. And of course, many have come down and worked physically on the facilities there. And we appreciate you praying for us and praying for that. I was supposed to leave tomorrow to go to Kentucky to a conference, but as you've heard on the news, Irma may be coming through Puerto Rico, and so we need to get back home tomorrow, so we're going to head back and get ready for the storm. Now, we're praying it'll go north, but you don't wait until it gets within 24 hours to get prepared. You've got to get prepared a day or two before. And so we are going to go back to Puerto Rico tomorrow and get prepared. I'd rather be prepared and it not come through as not be prepared and it come through. And so it's something that we've gone through before, but so we need to get prepared. You know, I do appreciate you praying for us and how the Lord has taken care of us through the years. Barbara and I have been married over 53 years now, and 43 of those years we've been in the West Indies together, and God has always supplied and taken care of us. And, you know, you never know what the Lord and how He'll do things. About a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years in November, Barbara fell and broke her back. And, of course, we finally was able to find out what was wrong, and she needed surgery, but her back, she couldn't have the surgery because the bones wouldn't hold the surgery she'd have to go through and the screws. And so they come to a conclusion, said there is a shot she can take. For 2 years, and it will help strengthen the bones. And so we come to find out it's $50 a shot. She needed it every day for 2 years. Oh, anybody can afford that? But God took care of it. Amen. I mean, it cost us $5 a month when it's all over done. Matter of fact, I said, well, we can't afford that. So the doctor said, I think I can help you. And he did. And the Lord put it all together. I mean, medical, but you can't afford to get sick today. You know that. How many of you just can't afford to get sick? I mean, listen, if you cost, it costs you, right? If you just cough. I don't know if you heard about the story about this lady who had a little pet duck, and something happened to it, and she took it to the vet, and she said, I don't know what's wrong with my duck. I don't know what's wrong with him. And so he laid the duck on the table and got his... put his stethoscope in and listened to the bird's chest, and he looked at it, did that two or three times. He shook his head at her, and he said, I'm sorry. Your duck's dead. And she said, are you sure? I mean, it could be in a coma. All you did was listen. You didn't do any tests or nothing. You sure my duck's dead? So he said, ma'am, the duck's dead. But he said, I'll do some tests. So he went out in the room and came back in a little while, and he had this beautiful black Labrador retriever. That dog got up and he laid that duck on the table, and that dog sniffed to that bird laying on the table and sniffed at him all over, and he looked at the doctor and shook his head, turned around and walked out. And so a few minutes, the doctor went out and he got a cat, brought that cat back in, put that cat up on the table, and that cat, he sniffed that duck all over. And he sat down and meowed real softly and shook his head. The vet said, ma'am, I'm sorry. Your duck's dead. It's dead, dead. So he turned around and did some on the computer, and he came out and handed her a bill. He said, $150. She said, $150 to tell me my duck's dead? He said, well, he said, if you'd have took my word, it would have been $20. But he said, then we did a lab and a CAT scan, and that's $150. It cost to get sick, right? So I'm glad God took care of it anyway. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 20. Stand with us if you would, and I enjoy reading the Word of God as a church family. We do that every service. I mean, every Sunday morning at our church, and I appreciate reading the Word of God together. I want to read some familiar verses, and your pastor mentioned to me last night, and I knew he was having the conference. I was able to watch a little bit on live stream. I saw the pastor's message last Sunday, not last Sunday morning. I was preaching, but later during the week I went on. But we appreciate this church, your faith promise, and what you give, and how you're able to keep all the missionaries that you do on the field. And I didn't know, he said, we'll be closing out this morning, Brother Johnny, and we'll be taking up our faith promise. And of course, you know, when you've been preaching for a long time, you've got a lot of outlines, but you want the right message. And really, as on about Thursday or of this week, I really settled on finishing my course with joy. I was thinking about Brother Don and, of course, all these years and how God's used him. And when I was sitting in Bible school, of course, Barbara and I were already married, and we had our children. I went to school at night. I'm thankful for local churches that have Bible institutes and Bible colleges for people like me that could go. But I forget the man's name. I'm getting kind of forgetful, but he came in and preached. There was about six or seven of us young men in chapel that night, and I'll never forget what he said. He was preaching, and he made this statement, and I really didn't believe it. He said, statistically, one out of every 100 missionaries go to the field. I'll stay on the field and finish. I said, that can't be true. But I said, God, by your grace, I want to be one of those that do finish. But now after 40-something years, it may be true. I tell our students, I have a message I usually preach, and they come. I said, the faith that brought you here won't keep you here. And then when they leave, I say, the faith that kept you here, now that you're leaving, going back home and starting the ministry, that faith won't keep you there. You see, we got to continually be growing in faith, and I think we have to be, I think there should be a commitment. I want to finish my course. Listen as I read familiar verses, and I'll begin reading in verse 21. Paul said, testifying of the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abideth me. But none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Father, we pray this morning, it's been good to be in your house with your people. Enjoyed, Lord, Brother Despain's message this morning, and challenge and encouragement in the lesson. We thank you for that. Thank you for the music, and now, Lord, for this church. And Lord, again, they've come to a very important time of their ministry for this year as they trust you to, Lord, increase their faith that they might reach beyond where they're reaching the past year and getting the gospel. And we thank you, Lord, for their friendship and their love for my family through the years and their support. May we say something this morning, Lord, that would encourage them. We want to be that encourager. You know what our hearts need to hear, and we didn't come to hear from a man. We came to hear from you. So speak to our hearts, and may we have the attitude of old, the one of old that said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do in our lives and through the lives of this local church. And we thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. You know, as you read the verses in the Apostle Paul, it seemed like Paul expected that there would be challenges, and now that many of us have lived our life and in the Lord and in the ministry, we can testify to the fact that There's always going to be trouble. There's always going to be challenges. You're either coming out of trouble or you're going into trouble, or you might be in the midst of some trouble right now. And I'm sure that we've all been there and understand that and going through that. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, if you turn over and just in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just for a moment, you read Paul's life, and I'm glad that we, as the Holy Spirit gives us the word, of, they let us see something about their lives and what they went through, and I believe to a challenge. I told our local church, after we had prayed for a number of years before we started the college that we had and that God has given us, I told them, I said, now God will take our local church through things that I don't believe He'll take other, might not take other local churches through, and for this reason. One of the burdens that I had and that God put in my heart about starting the college was prepare young men and young women for ministry. Being prepared for the ministry is knowing is far more than just knowing and being doctrinally sound. The ministry has its challenges, and one of the things that I wanted to be a part of in helping train young people for ministry, and so while they're there, I think God has taken our church through trials and through tests, and that the young people that are there are seeing our people that work and what God is doing, but seeing that ministry has its challenges. And just because there's challenges doesn't mean that you're not in the will of God. Paul said, I know I'm in the will of God because there's a great door open, but the adversaries are many. Adversity is not necessarily a direction that God doesn't want you to keep doing what you're doing. Adversity many times is the fact of confirmation that you are doing what God wants you to do. But listen, as the Apostle Paul wrote these words, and I wonder if the Holy Spirit, when Paul was writing this and he came to this, if he said, Holy Spirit, I don't want to write about this. Paul never tried to draw attention to himself. The Holy Spirit had Paul write this, and listen in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says in verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labor and abundance, in stripes above measure, imprisonment more frequent, and in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. I'd have probably quit after the first one. 5 times, he said. He said, thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. And a night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robber, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, and besides those things that are without, which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And yet Paul, as he was writing the church at Ephesus and preparing to leave, he talked about things that were facing him, but he said, these things didn't move me. Matter of fact, Paul said, and I want to finish my course with joy. I wonder, that's a good life verse, isn't it? Now, I hadn't finished my course unless the Lord takes me home today. And I'd like to stand here and tell you that I'm going to finish my course. I've known men that's been in the ministry as long or longer than I am that didn't finish their course. They came close but didn't. And I don't know about you, but it is my heart's desire, and there is a purpose in my soul, and my desire is that I might finish my course with joy. Not just finish my course, but finish it with joy. There's several things I'd like to share with you this morning, but I'll do it briefly. And Paul reveals us in this statement, there's some practical truths. And one of them, he said, I want to finish my course with joy. And you know, not everybody has the same course. I would not dare get up, and I'm sure all of us have been in services, and and preachers preach to get results. Why preach if you don't want to challenge people to respond to the preaching? But there's a difference in preaching and allowing the Holy Ghost to speak to hearts and challenge you than me trying to manipulate you to make you feel guilty to do something that you're not doing when it may not be God's will for you to do that. Paul said that I might finish my course with joy. And also in that is that there is a distinction that each one of us have a different course. You know, you're here in this local church. Many of you might have been saved here in this local church. Some may move to an area and you're looking for a good Bible preaching church. It had the right perspective, had the right preaching in the pulpit, and had the right purpose from the pew. And God's brought you here. Why? Because He has a course for this local church and you're part of it. The missionaries that you support, the 165 families, this church couldn't do that if it wasn't for you staying by your course. And so you see, this local ministry cannot reach its community, and you cannot reach, God would not be able to reach the world through this local church if you didn't stay and finish your course, whatever it is. So Paul was saying here, everyone has a different course, but also in the writing he said, expect opposition. If I've learned anything through life and some of its experience in the ministry, when you're in the will of God and you're fulfilling your course, expect opposition. I heard your pastor just say that's his goal and praying that you might increase to 175. Expect opposition. And I think Paul, another reason when Paul in his life, and you read it, it seems like Paul's life was a consistent opposition that he might not fulfill the course that God gave him. But I don't think it's surprising. Remember the man who baptized Paul? Paul met the Lord, we believe, on the road to Damascus in Acts 9. And you remember the man, Ananias, that he went to Paul that night. You remember what he said to him? Hi, Paul, I'm Ananias. And the Lord's told me to come and tell you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake. How would you like to be led to the Lord and somebody say, now let me tell you what great things you're going to suffer for the Lord's sake? Well, you know, the Bible said if you live godly in Christ Jesus, all will suffer. So Paul, no doubt, he never let circumstances rob him of his joy, because he was committed, as he said to the believers there in Ephesus as he was leaving. He said that I might finish my course with joy. Let me give you a couple of things this morning. What I think that'll take to finish your course with joy. I hope it's your heart's desire to do that. First of all, it's very simple. If we're going to finish our course with joy, and you look at the Apostle Paul's life, and I believe he did. We know that Paul said, I've kept the faith, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. We know that Paul lost his head, and many believe that he was alone, but he didn't lose his joy when he lost his head. Because his joy wasn't based upon circumstances of opposition. Because I believe there's a truth that we have to have if we're going to finish our course with joy. There's some things I believe we have to understand. And first of all, we've got to die to self. The Bible said in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. I don't know if you've ever read, I've got a little book on Dr. Bob Jones Sr., Chapel Sayings. There's some people God's given an ability to make short statements that has tremendous truth to it. He had this one here, he said, it's better to die for something than to live for nothing. But one day in a chapel service, Dr. Bob was preaching for this message, and from this verse, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In that, he said, once someday, somebody came to Jesus one time and said, I want to go to school. And Jesus said, oh, that's marvelous. I'm so glad you have, that you've come. And I'm so glad to have you. Get a cross. Get what? Get a cross. Get a cross, why? Well, he said, I'm looking for people who can die. If you cannot die, then I don't want you. I'm on my way to die, and that's what I came to this earth for. I left heaven's noonday to come to the dark night of this world to die. Get a cross, and let's die together. And really, when we talk about Brother Johnny, Pastor, I want my purpose, and one of my goals is to finish my course with joy. Then you must die to self. When you think about finishing your course and dying to self, and you are going to have opposition in the ministry, but you know the greatest opposition? You know who you're going to have the greatest opposition from? Me. Do you know God will not oppose me from doing His will? He will empower me to do His will. Satan can't stop me from doing God's will. You can't stop me from doing God's will, but I'm my own worst enemy. I think that's why He said you must die to self. Did you know the Lord said, be of good comfort, I've overcome the world? We know in Hebrews chapter 4, I think it is, He talks about He destroyed the power of the devil at the cross. The devil can't stop us from finishing our course. The world can't keep us from finishing our course. But do you know He didn't say, I'll crucify the flesh. No, He said, I've overcome the world, I've destroyed the power of the devil, but you crucify the flesh. What will keep us from finishing our course? It's we must die to self. And may I say unto you, you'll never know how much power, how much control the flesh has until you try to take the control for the flesh. Somebody said, I've got my flesh under control. Then try to deny the flesh sometime. Try to tell the flesh, you're no longer in control. He's in control. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but the life that I live in the flesh, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Have you ever wondered what a Christ life in the flesh is like? Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Philippians chapter 2. And I hope I'm not discouraging this morning. I hope I'm challenging and encouraging you that you want to finish your course, whatever your course is. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant that was made in the likeness of men. What is a life, Christ-like life in the flesh look like? It is a servant. That's what ministry is all about. Now, there's two types of servant. There's a profitable servant, and there's an unprofitable servant. There is the servant that has the employee attitude and only does duty. Then there's the bond slave, whose will becomes the will of the one that he's serving. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Luke 17 just for a moment. I think this is a very interesting story. And our Lord was speaking. He's talking about servitude. What I'm saying this morning, listen, I hope there's a desire in your heart. By the grace of God, I want to finish my course with joy. Well, you got to die to self. And then how do we know that we've died to self? Then there's someone else ruling and controlling our life. And it is that of servitude. But notice Luke 17. Let me begin reading in verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go sit down to meat? Now here's the picture. He's talking to a man and using an allegory that you and I could understand. This man worked for him, and his job, his duty was to plow and and the fields and harvest the field and take care of the animals, and so he's out working. And he said, now when he comes in from his work, in verse 8, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, gird thyself, serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Now listen to this statement. Doth he think that that servant, because he did that which was commanded him? I throw not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all the things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. You know, we have a, and I'm not here, I'm sure, I'm talking about outside here. We have a lot of folks sitting in our churches today. And they do their duty. Well, I go to the house of God. I support my local church. I give my tithes. I support the faith promise. I've done my duty. And that is a duty. But if all we do is our duty, he said we're unprofitable servants. Now, I didn't say that. He said that. And I, listen, I pastored long enough. I've been with people, and I've had people say, Pastor, I've tithed consistently. What else you want? You know, that's a lot of times people talk to God that way. Lord, why has this happened to me? I've done my duty. That, you know, he said, if all we do is our duty. Brother, I was teaching Sunday school this morning about Onesimus going back. Now, he was a slave. He said, I want you to receive him back because, and I, boy, that jumped out at me. He said, he'll be a profitable servant for you. He'll come back and he will do his duty, but because he's a brother in Christ, he'll do more. I'm talking about, listen, do you want to finish your course with joy? First thing you got to do is got to die to self. Let me give you the second point. We must seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We need to find out what God wants. I say this often to our young people. Matter of fact, we had a young lady who was in our college, and she came in and saw me a few times, and I said, young lady, please don't misunderstand what I'm going to tell you, but you need to hear what I'm going to tell you. I said, here's what one of your problems is, and here's why you're struggling. You want to do all of these things that you think would please God and say, God, I did all this for you, and sign his name to it. It don't work that way. You need to come to yourself and say, oh, God, I can't do anything for you, but God, do something for your glory through me. And many times, if we're not careful, we'll try to do things and sign his name to it. This was for his glory. And the Holy Spirit wasn't in it at all. We don't do what we want and say, now, Lord, bless what I've done. Had a man one time in Puerto Rico. He came to me and he said, Pastor, he said he was having some problems. And he was going to lose his home. And he did end up, because of that, he lost his marriage. But he came to me and he said, Pastor, will you pray with me? And he told me a situation, and he'd got a business deal with an unsaved man. And he went out, and this man, you know, convinced him to take a loan against his home and to finance to get the business started. And he said, Pastor, he said, I want you to pray for me. And he said, I'll tithe and I'll give the mission, and I want you to pray that God will bless this business. I said, I can't do that. He said, why not? I said, I can't ask God to bless what God's cursed. He said, what do you mean? I said, the Bible said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You didn't seek God, and he didn't seek his wife either, and about taking a loan out against your house to get in this business, you thought you'd make money, and now you're in trouble, and God, I'll give you some of it if you'll bless it. It don't work that way. What I'm saying is we have to simply, if we're going to our life, we're going to live a life and finish our course with joy, we need to find out what God wants, and we need to be led by the Spirit. Turn your Bible. You're familiar with the verse to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, and you know the story, and I'll just read one verse and make a very brief comment. Genesis 24, verse 27. And you know the story about Eliezer, Abraham's servant, and he's seeking the Lord about a bride for Isaac, and he said in verse 27, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left me destitute of the matter of his mercy and his truth." But here's a statement. "As I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." That little statement, we've all made reference to it. He acknowledged, he said, "Listen, as I was in the way." In other words, he was being led by the Spirit of God. He was where he was at. He got there all under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But may I say to you, before he made that statement, he was walking in obedience to the revealed word. He was submitting to the authority that God had placed over him. And God's will is revealed one step at a time through circumstances of life. And because he was walking in the light of the revealed word under the authority, letting the Lord lead him. You know, the Bible said the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How do you know, Brother Johnny, you're in the will of God? When you're walking in obedience to the light of the word of God. When one's heart and one's spirit is submissive to the obedience to walk to his word, the Holy Spirit can lead you. Now, there's no verse in the Bible where God told me to go to Puerto Rico and start what is Calvary Baptist Tabernacle and start what is the Christian Day School and the Bible College, but I believe that we're right in the will of God. Because I did take the steps. You know, the Bible said, "Delight thyself in the law of the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thy heart." And this is a heart issue. It's not. And when he's talking about that, he said, "Delight thyself in the law of the Lord." In other words, your delight is, "Lord, I want to walk in obedience. I want to please you. I want this to be my guidance. I want this to be my direction in my life." And that is your delight. Then who put the desire in your heart? God did. And I tell our young people, I said, if you can answer this honestly from your heart, my desire is to walk in obedience to his word. Then say, "Lord, if you don't take the desire away, I'm going to do it." You don't lay down on one side of a log and say, "God, if you want me over there, throw me on the other side of the log." If he does, if that happens, get up and run. That ain't God. But when you're walking in obedience to his word, he'll guide you. How can we finish our course with joy? Number one, we must take up our cross, die to self. Number two, we must let the Holy Spirit lead us. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And God's Spirit will not lead you to do one thing contrary to this word. Number three, you must seek to be filled daily with the Holy Spirit. I say that cautiously because that's not easy to do. But the Bible commands us in Ephesians 5, he said, "Not be drunk with wine, where is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God." Now, I know I'm preaching in a church where the Word of God is always preached every time you gather. He is the one who is exalted here through his Word, and so you know what that means when it talks about being filled with the Spirit. It means to be under the control of. Now, he uses an example of alcohol. And I'm sure all of us have seen people that's under the influence of alcohol. And when you see a person, I've heard this statement, "That's not him speaking, that's the alcohol." one of the reasons we are here, I was planning to go on to the conference next week, and my wife, I had asked her to come with me. She didn't always get to go, and so we were here, but last Sunday night, we found out her sister up in Greenville is in the hospital with a broken leg, and her son that lived with her probably committed suicide last Sunday night with an overdose of drugs. So we were there. We was able to come in, go home, and I think the Lord providentially planned this, because if I hadn't planned to be here, Pastor, I wouldn't have even come, because I knew I'm not going to Kentucky, knowing the storm was here. But I'm glad we came, because we was able to go see her sister and find out a little bit. And she was talking to us, and she said, I was talking to Barbara and myself, and she said some of the things that he did to her. But she said it wasn't him. It was the drugs. And she was right. Well, he uses this. You and I see someone who is under the influence of a substance, and we say, that's not them. She said, Johnny, you know Mike would never do that. I said, well, I know that. It's the drugs. Well, you know, he says to us, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, be under the control. I want to use this little example, and I'm closing. This represents me and you. This glove has a purpose, but it has to be under the control of something, either flesh or the Spirit. Now, when he says be filled with the Spirit, in other words, that means the Spirit has to control us completely, but he can't control us unless he has complete access to us. In Puerto Rico, they have a little statement. When you go to visit somebody's house, they'll say, bienvenidos, mi casa, tu casa. Well, I use that sometimes. I said, you don't mean that. Oh, yes, Pastor, mi casa, tu casa. I said, okay. I said, if I come to your house and I walk in, you say that, and I sit down a little bit, and I go out and I get me a hammer, and I said, well, I'm going to knock a hole. I think that'll be a good door here, so I'm going to knock a hole in that. Whoa, Pastor, you can't knock a hole in that. I thought, you said tu casa, mi casa. If I go in your bedroom and I start opening drawers and looking in here and getting rid of that, you'd say, what are you doing? Tu casa, mi casa. I said, you don't really mean that. We say a lot of things that sound good. Oh, but you say, Brother Johnny, I want to say, as Paul said, I want to finish my course with joy. And he said, then you've got to be filled with the Spirit. So we said, Lord, fill me. You've heard these preachers, that people come to the altar, you know, and people revival, they get right, and then they go back out, and 2 days later they're doing the same thing. And I heard this story about this guy. He came to the altar, and man, he was praying, oh, God, fill me, fill me, fill me. And his wife said, don't do it, Lord, he leaks. So, but do you want to be filled? Lord, mi casa, my house, tu casa, your house. So he comes in, and he starts to fill. There's something in there. So, well, let's see what's in there. Well, maybe he says in this room there's some jealousy. Well, he can't fill us in. Jealousy's got to go. Well, all right, Lord. Have me not be jealous. Just let me have what she's got and give her a feather and we'll both be tickled. Nah, don't work that way. Bitterness. You have any bitterness in you this morning? Bitterness at a circumstance? Maybe not just a person, but a circumstance? That's got to go. We can't fill you. Okay, Lord, I got rid of my jealousy, got rid of my bitterness. Okay. Fill me, Lord. So, yeah. Bad attitude. You ever seen anybody with a bad attitude? We don't have them, though, do we? My wife says, what's wrong with your attitude? And then I get mad. Who made you judge? Who said I had a bad attitude? She'll say, psst, calm down. You didn't know I was going to tell her, did you? I'd say some other things, but she's here. No, I'm not. Feel me, Lord. Take control. There's something else. Laziness. Somebody said, laziness bad, Brother Johnny. You know, he compares laziness to an armed robbery. You're stealing from him and others. God, it's got to go. You wouldn't want to be a student in our school. Sometimes I tell them, I say, get them up about 4 o'clock in the morning and have them go do some work and see what kind of attitude they do it in. You know, you can do the right thing in the wrong attitude. Well, Lord, I want you to fill me. So let me just hurry up and get all this out so I can get filled. Covetousness. And there's one. You get the idea. Lust. But once I'm empty of everything, who's in control now? And that's what it means to be filled. And I'm going to tell you something. It's easy for things to get in. I have a message I preached a few weeks ago. When hurt comes to hurt, why does hurt come to hurt? You know, when hurt comes, it opens a door. A lot of things can get in your life. You want to finish your course with joy? Die to self. Be led by the Spirit. Be under the control. You see, this glove is useless unless something else controls it. And either our flesh is in control or he's in control. Last thing, and I'm not going to preach on it, just give it. Be steadfast in the work of the Lord. Paul said, none of these things move me. I'm purposed. Be steadfast in your prayer life. Be steadfast in your scripture reading. Be steadfast in your witnessing. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for a sweet spirit that's here, for a liberty that's here. Lord, I hadn't finished my course unless you take me home today. If this is my last sermon, I pray that it's honored you, been exactly what you wanted me to say. But Lord, if we have some more time, help us to die to self daily. Paul said, I die daily. Can't die one time. We have to die daily. Help us to be led by the Spirit of God. And help us to be filled with the Spirit. And help us to be steadfast and unmovable in the work of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor's going to come. Close the service. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
As the musicians begin to play, if you need to do business with the Lord this morning,